The tradition of Wicca I practice currently, we've come to call the reclaiming tradition. It's the tradition that's evolved out of our community in the San Francisco Bay Area out of 20, 25 years of teaching together, practicing ritual together, working together. Many of us who began in reclaiming came out of the feminist movement, came out of the anti-war movement in the 60s. For us, linking our spiritual tradition to our political activism is very important. If we believe nature is sacred, that we have to do something to protect her. And if we believe that everyone is interconnected, then we have to do something in this world to work for justice. In reclaiming, our traditions work with a certain set of correspondences. Each of the elements has a direction, a color, a time, a season, and a tool. Air is in the east. It's dawn. It's light, pale colors, like pale pinks and white and pale yellow. It's spring, and it's the mind. And its tool is the athame, or the witch's knife, because the knife is the edged blade that separates things, cuts between things. And that's one of the qualities of our human minds, that ability to separate one thing out from another, to say, I'm me and you're you, and we're not identically the same. Fire in the south is noon, is reds and oranges and hot colors, is summer. Its quality is energy, passion, courage, and its tool is the wand, which is used for drawing energy, channeling energy, and is generally made of some kind of wood, which is what we generally use to burn. Water is the west, is twilight, is blues and deep greens and purples, is autumn, and it's the quality of emotion, of feeling. And its tool is the cup or the chalice that holds water. We always have water on our altars as a symbol of the sacredness of the living waters of the earth. And earth, or north, is midnight, and its colors are greens of life and growing things, and also the color of black, the color of the dark midnight sky. Its season is winter. And its quality is physicality, physical reality, manifestation. Its tool is the pentacle, the five-pointed star in a circle, which represents the wholeness of those four elements plus the fifth, which is spirit. It represents the human body, our five toes and our five fingers, and the way that we look if we stand invoking the goddess with our arms out and our legs out. Spirit, which is in the center, is timelessness. It has every color or no color, all seasons or no seasons, and its quality is spirit, is mystery. Its tool is the cauldron, that vessel which unites all the elements, fire, water, air, and earth. When we use the four elements in the magic circle, what they remind us to do is to look at all aspects of a question. If we're trying to create something, we have to say, what's the vision? What does our mind tell us? What's the energy? What's the emotion that we feel? What's the physical reality? What's the spirit? What's the essence? What's the core of what we're trying to create? If we're trying to solve a problem, we need to look at what do we think about it? What ideas are constricting us? What energies, what passions are at play here? What deep feelings, what sensitivities are we not seeing or not acknowledging? What physical realities, what constraints, what limits are we not dealing with? And what spirit, what essence can we call on to help give us insight? And we use the elements when we do ritual. For us, ritual is the way that we connect with the goddess and with that larger interwoven web of life. The Wicca tradition is not a tradition of a sacred text or a sacred book. It's a tradition of experience. And ritual is the way that we consciously create experiences that help us connect more deeply with all of life, that help create a moment in our busy lives when we can stop and listen and hear that larger world speaking to us. A ritual honors the deep value of an event or an occurrence. If we do rituals to celebrate the full moon, it becomes important to us. We notice it. We pay attention to the moon. If we do a ritual to celebrate an event in our life or a passage in our life, we're saying, this is important. This needs to be marked. And if something important happens and we don't do some sort of ritual about it, we feel very uneasy, very uncomfortable. You can imagine what happens if someone dies and there's no honoring, no celebration, no memorial. Something is not finished. Something is not right. Ritual also helps us many times face together those things that are too intense, too heavy for us to face alone. So when we do a ritual, we begin with a grounding, a beginning meditation to connect our energies with the energies of the earth. We cast a circle, we create a magic circle, and call in the elements and the center. Honor them, express our gratitude for the things that they do to sustain life. Because all of the elements are really the things that most basically sustain our lives. We call in the goddess and the gods. We think about the specific aspects of goddess or god, the specific faces, the specific qualities we want for the time, for the season, for the work that we're doing. And we do something to raise energy. Energy is a very important concept in Wicca. We see the world not just as physicality, but that those physical forms are expressions of underlying flows and movements of this dynamic energy that moves through all living beings. And that part of our work in ritual and part of our work in healing and just in living is to understand the flows of those energies and to learn how to tap that energy, how to express it, how to channel it, how to shift it and shape it. That's part of the work of being a witch. Ritual also can take us into many altered states of consciousness. We might use drumming, meditation, breathing, dancing, storytelling, many things to put us in a state of trance, to put us in a state where we're more open to communication from other forms of life, from other levels of the world. And in ritual, we might even cast a spell. Witches are supposed to be noted for casting a spell. When a spell really is simply a symbolic act that's done with a specific purpose. A symbolic act that understands that interconnectedness of all of life and all living beings. And I think we can learn a lot from the process of spell casting about any kind of process we do that has a goal and has an intention. Because in a spell or in a larger ritual, the most important thing is to be clear about what your intention is. Then when you're casting a spell, you need to also understand something about the way the human mind works. In Wicca, we often say that we have not just one self, but sort of three parts of ourselves. There's our talking mind, our intellectual self, our talking self, which is the rational, thinking, adult part of us. There's also what we might call the younger self, which is the emotional, intuitive part of us that's not so responsive to words, but responds to images and sensations. And we have, finally, the deep self, which is that part of us that transcends any given lifetime and really links us into that larger connectedness. In Wicca, each of us embodies the goddess, the gods, in our own personal, unique, and sometimes strange ways. But our communication to the rest of that big goddess being is through that deep self part of us. It's the part that transcends our immediate personality. The way we communicate with that deep self is not through our talking self, but through our younger self. And that means if we want to speak back to that universe, we need to use images, we need to use things that are sensory, incense, physical objects, stones, shells, herbs, things you can touch and taste and feel, to create in our minds those images that are going to tell the universe what our intention is. The other important aspect of doing a spell or a ritual is that you need to have a positive image of what you want. You can't say to the great powers of the universe, "Oh, goddess, don't send me another rotten relationship like the last one." Because that image in your mind is going to be that rotten relationship you just got out of. And that's the message that's going to get transmitted. You need to think about what kind of relationship you want, what kind of love you want to draw in. You know, do you want to draw in the kind of love where you're licking mangoes on a tropical beach? Or do you want to draw in the kind of love where you're reading the Sunday New York Times and figuring out who's going to pick up the kids at the soccer game? And when your intention is clear about that, then you find an image that represents that whole constellation of feelings and emotions and ideas and intentions. So maybe it's going to be the mango, or maybe it's going to be the soccer ball. But then you direct energy. You direct your emotion, your breath, your physical and emotional and spiritual vitality into those images. And you might do that through meditating, chanting, dancing, visualizing. And that's what sets the intention, what starts to set in motion forces in the universe that start to bring more love into your life. And there's also a lot of sayings about magic, that magic tends to backfire. And that's because once you set those forces in motion, the first thing that is going to happen is they're going to start showing you all the blocks and all the obstacles that you've got going on in your mind and your psyche and your emotions that are keeping love out of your life. So you should think very carefully before you do a spell, because it's not all nice and simple and pleasant. Doing a spell, doing a ritual, doing any of this work is a road to self-discovery. And that means a willingness to look at the parts of ourselves we don't want to see, as well as the parts that are easy and pleasant. There's also very important ethics about spell casting or about magic. We often say that what you send out magically returns on you three times over. That for you to put yourself, your being, your emotion, in that state of intensity that you need to set those things going, to start bringing you what you want, in a sense, you become those forces. So if you're concentrating on love, on healing, on compassion, you're becoming more loving, becoming more healing, becoming more compassionate yourself. And that is going to attract those kinds of qualities to you. But if you're concentrating on hate, on revenge, on harming someone, again, you're becoming more hateful. You're becoming more obsessed. You're attracting exactly those kinds of energies back to you. And that's why witches who are wise, as witches are supposed to be, are always very careful about what they send out. And always do a lot of personal discernment and cleansing before you do a spell. And always know very clearly before you do a ritual what your intention is for that ritual.